cliffcentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday, cliffcentral.com. Who we got this morning? Let's do a quick roll call. There's Sia Sangweni.
Present.
Mbulelo Tit.
Good morning.
Okay, Mfundotlat.
Morning, people.
Good morning to you. All right, and you've woken up to be with us today, which we never take for granted.
Happy Wednesday.
Now, what would be the point of us doing this show if nobody was listening?
If a tree fell in the forest,
yeah,
and no
where
one
would
was
anyone know?
Around. What? How does that one?
Something like
you
that.
You know what I'm talking about.
I get the basic idea. All right, so how's everybody? What's happening? What's news? Are we looking good this week? What's going on?
We're forgetting everything that's happening on Twitter.
What is
whatever
happening?
Mess
what's
there
what's
might
going
be.
On there?
Because I don't know. Because I'm still feeling inspired from last night. You know, Fred Rode, who we've had on the show a couple of times, we've done some things with.
Fred.
Yeah, you know, he hosts these inspiring conversations.
Yeah, Heavy Chef is what they're called.
And I went to one of those last night. And then I thought, yeah, man, this is what we should really be focusing on. Things are happening. People are moving. People want to better themselves and make dynamic choices. It was a room of, you know, people who just want to make changes in their lives, and particularly in the space of entrepreneurship. I was just there to lend an ear and to learn from all of these people. But yeah, no one was talking about, you know, it's because of so-and-so that I haven't made it, and it's because of this, or I'm waiting for this one to help me. But it was people who just want to get things going. And I thought, yeah, that's the mindset to have. That's what to really focus on.
That's it. You can only do, who was I talking to just yesterday about exactly this thing? You can only do what you can do. You can only control what you can control. Oh, it was my oral hygienist.
Oh.
I went for tooth cleaning yesterday.
Ooh.
You know when they use that thing with the yeah.
Do they scrape into your teeth?
Oh, they do that too.
Oh, my favorite.
Do you like that?
Yes.
You like it? Because what? You like the feeling of walking out with really clean teeth?
Yeah. Literally yeah, when they're squeaky clean.
Going through it is horrible. Like, I'm not going to dwell too much on this, but I've never been good with dentists. And now that I've mostly got my teeth straightened out, and it's been a 6-year process.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to get Dr. Flax back in here. He made people laugh when he said that I was like the worst case he's ever dealt with.
He's our neighbor.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think we must get him in here. But anyway, this now that I've got them sorted out, it takes much quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And I get into that chair, and you know, she's a really awesome dentist. So she has pictures all over for the kids, and she tells them to look at the pictures. There's one on the roof. And she's really gentle, and she's good at her job. But I have a phobia about the dentist. So what happens is when I lie down, I fold my arms, like this is subconsciously. I fold my arms, I get really tense. I start to sweat. Because it's scary to me. Like I know nothing's going to happen. It's just an irrational fear. But even though I'm just going in to have my teeth cleaned and everything's fine, and I didn't have to have anything done, you know, it was just a normal.
What sets you off? I think you know you are in the majority of people. A lot of people are just freaked out by the dentist, and I've never really understood why.
Well,
is it the sound?
You got someone digging around in your mouth, which is first of all very invasive, right? And I mean, I've always felt sorry for dentists because I can imagine nothing worse than digging in someone else's mouth.
Go right ahead.
I mean, it's got to be awful. And like, I always am extremely aware of, like, I'll brush my teeth before I go for an appointment, that kind of thing. Because you imagine some people pitch up straight after work, or they've been just had lunch, and they go straight to the dentist, and the dentist has to scratch around in that pie hole of yours. It's disgusting. But I also think it's those instruments that make those high pitched noises.
Oh,
and obviously that sometimes it hurts, you know. Sometimes they like hit a nerve or something happens in the mouth, and especially when you have to have injections because you might have to have fillings. And you know, because I for a long, long time, I'd just given up. I was like, well, these are the teeth I've got. This is the state of my mouth. This is how it's going to be. I was like, yeah, we'll do what we're going to do.
Mm.
And therefore, I had a real relationship of hatred with the dentist, because I must have projected some of the blame onto them. But she's always been terrific. And I was talking to her yesterday. The only reason I bring up this story is because she said, you know, it doesn't really matter what happens in Parliament. It doesn't really matter what happens on Twitter. Look, we know Twitter is not real. It's not the real world. And the people who are the loudest on Twitter in the real world have no power at all. They're mostly just nobodies.
Yeah.
And as Ricky Gervais says, if you walked past a trash can where there was a homeless person inside of it, covered in their own shit, screaming at you from the trash can, you would just get out of the way and get away as quickly as possible. And that's exactly what you should do on Twitter. You shouldn't, you know, everybody's now freaking out because Helen Ziller yesterday decided she's out of here, or the day before. But people have been leaving Twitter for the longest time, and I don't know who the brave folk who are still there are, whether they've got a desire to be hurt the whole time. Maybe it's like sadomasochism.
Oh, no.
Because you can't find people to... You know, for example, yesterday I went on, because I only have Twitter on my laptop.
Yeah.
I don't have it on my phone. So I was sitting at my desk, and Tom Eaton, who's been a guest of ours before, was going on about... Who was it? Jeff Bezos, right? Let me just find this for you, because it's worth... I don't want to misquote him or me, or, you know, get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, he was going on about Jeff Bezos, and he had some things to say about Jeff. He was like, well, Jeff Bezos only gave so much money to climate change or whatever it might be. By the way, when climate change comes up in the UN list of things that we need to do, it is not even in the top 100 things that we could do to improve not just the planet, but other people's lives. It is a complete misnomer. There is no amount of money you can throw at the climate change problem to fix it. I just want to say that because there are a lot of people who have this unrealistic expectation that governments, who, by the way, can't even stop the spread of the coronavirus, want to now start taking your money to fix the atmosphere? The planet? You want to fix the planet? Good luck with that. God takes millions of years to do that. Good luck, humans. Anyway, so Tom Eaton says Jeff Bezos wants to give $10 billion. $10 billion to fight climate change. Based on his earnings between 2017 and 2018, that's about 7 weeks of income. So I hate that. And I obviously went on and I said,
what is his point?
Well, he's saying that, you know, if you're worth $100 billion, you should give more than $10 billion to climate change.
Do you know what a tenth of what you're worth is?
Well, this is it. But anyway, I mean, I'm not gonna argue. So Tom Eaton is just doing what everyone else does. So I said, okay, not enough of other people's money for you? How much have you donated? Which is a fair question.
Yeah.
So he goes, why did you assume it was a criticism of... You see, people always get all like hurt and virtuous. And like, how could you say that about me? But you're on Twitter mouthing off. Why did you assume it was a criticism of Bezos' decision rather than a comment on his vast income? Both are, for me, inappropriate. I did assume it was actually a comment on his vast income, because this is the politics of resentment. That's what that's called. So I said his vast income is self-made and it's none of your business. Am I wrong?
No.
Was there an Amazon before Jeff Bezos that he inherited from his parents?
No.
That he added no value to? No.
Even if he decided to donate a cent?
You, me, Bulelo, Tom Eaton, Fundo, and everybody else in the world, if we want to order a book online now that you can't get in your local bookstore, you can thank Jeff Bezos. This was an impossible task once. Do you know how hard it was to find certain books?
Honest to goodness.
Seriously. We can get, like fucking that. The drone can come and drop it off at your house if you live in America. This is a phenomenon. Do not underplay what Jeff Bezos has done for the world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sick of like Bernie Sanders, some fucking commie who's been lying around on other people's sofa for 50 years. This old fuck who's done nothing. Do you know that he's achieved two things? He renamed a post office and he helped push through some legislation in the little, I don't know, some town in Vermont when he was mayor.
And then he also lived in a cult.
He lived in a cult for... This is a fucking useless human being.
Let's
this
just
is
remember
an absolute waste of space. This Bernie Sanders has spent his life glomming off of everyone else.
And he was kicked out of the cult.
He was kicked out of that goddamned... What is it called?
Hippie. It was a hippie
commune.
Farm.
Yeah. It's a commune.
Because he wasn't participating.
I have got the most wonderful place to stay for free. Everybody else works. I lie here and I write vast theories and treatises.
What an absolute abomination of a person. Bernie Sanders has produced nothing of value in his life. Nothing. He's even stolen Karl Marx's manifesto. That's how uncreative and unproductive this fucking old bastard is. In lying around all his life. And then he goes, these greedy billionaires, the 1% of the 1%, these greedy billionaires. Greedy billionaires. All you've done your whole life long, my friend, is live off of the back of hardworking people, some of whom have become billionaires through their own hard work. You call them greedy. You know who's greedy? You, sucking on the system. That's what's greedy, old communist.
And this is exactly why we have to do things ourselves.
Oh, I could put him in my dentist's chair and go to town. Tell you what, Bernie Sanders. So anyway, Tom Eaton then replies to me, cool, cool, cool. I mean, because I've said his vast income is none of your business. Billionaires are the biggest philanthropists, which they are.
I'm glad you brought up that word. Please can we stop using that word? You're not special for being nice to people.
Yeah, exactly.
There is no bigger dickheads.
Because people put it in their job description.
I hate when... but it also becomes a fanfare.
Put this on the hate list.
Like, yeah.
Oh, I'm special because I'm nice to people. No. We're sick as the human race if we think it's special to be nice to people.
Yeah.
If you're in positions of power, and we know what money is, all money is portable power. Stop trying to philosophize it.
Ooh.
It's power, yes. You can put in your pocket.
But that's precisely why billionaires are the biggest philanthropists in the world, and they make a huge difference to ordinary people. They're fighting malaria. They're doing stuff that before was only the province of government in Bulelo, right?
Sure. I think it's because before power was in the hands of government.
And it's so en vogue now for people to hate these billionaires. Now, I don't have any particular love for them because I'm not necessarily benefiting from them, but I am indirectly. You're carrying around an iPhone, which a billionaire, he became a billionaire because he invented something like that. You're using a laptop. It's probably Bill Gates's brilliant breakthroughs early in the 1980s that made that happen. Let's just be aware of the fact that you don't live on this island where everything that everyone else does is at your expense. You know, it's so weird that some people see the world like this. And what got me onto this is Tom's thing yesterday, because Twitter's not the real world. And he goes, cool, cool, cool. Do you think you could supply me with a full list of things that are none of my business? Just so I don't make the mistake of expressing opinions about things I said. I mean, what... You would expect that from a 5-year-old, not one of the best journalists in the country. And I do think he's a brilliant journalist. Mm. Tom, that is so weak and so lame and such a cop-out from someone who's got a brain. You have no excuse. If you were a member of parliament, I'd forgive you because you've got to be stupid to do that. But because you're a smart journalist, you should be ashamed of the way you conduct yourself on Twitter.
Did you even respond to that?
No, I just said, sure. I mean, what am I going to say? But really, like, soft targets. And it's this resentment. It's this idea that if someone else has got something, it's because you've lost something. It's ridiculous. That's not how the world works. So, to get back to the point, it's taken us a long time to get here. You can see I got a lot to talk about. When you are faced with the world which is full of bad news, and we know that most of that is not true, and it certainly, if it is true, it doesn't affect you.
Yeah.
You just got to make your way, right? Do what you can. Make sure that you look after yourself, your family, and if you have a little bit extra, maybe your extended family. If you have a little bit extra, you look after your community. If you have more than that, you look after whoever, as far as you can reach.
But also, you can decide how much you want to contribute.
Sure. I mean, you know that we have more charities in this country than they have in America.
But is that a sign of being good?
No.
Charity is not...
No. Oh, by no means.
In fact, charity is often a sign of things are really wrong if you really want to get into it, but we don't.
Right. Oh, politics of resentment, Toby Le says. Gareth, your assessment of Bernie Sanders certainly sounds resentful to me. He might win the presidential race, so get ready for a frustrated 4 years, much like Trump haters have had.
I don't think so.
Listen, the guy got the New Hampshire primaries, he was in the 20s of a percentage point. You know, he used to, when he was up against Hillary, he got like 60%. He's now in the 20s. Guy's got no chance. Donald Trump, remember, didn't even run in a primary in New Hampshire. And even though he didn't run, 150,000 people pitched up just to write his name on the ballot. Think about that. Bernie got maybe 70,000 votes, and it is his primary. So, Tobile, do some reading.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
Here is some criticism of me, which I always like to throw in every now and then. So, Fern, who's a longtime listener and whose opinion I respect, has this to say. Hey, Gareth, I listened to the podcast about the Katie Hopkins prank yesterday. Your sympathy... I didn't have sympathy for her, first of all. I didn't have sympathy. I don't like any kind of misrepresentation. But in this case, I said she is a douchebag and she deserves it. I'm pretty sure I said that. We can go dig that up. You see, the nice thing about having a show? Someone says,
with
but
archives
you said,
like this.
You said, well, go and listen to it again. So I will. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. And I agree. She's a horrible person. No need to feel bad because of this attention-seeking bigot and the fact that she was caught out. Big ups to the guy who organized it. He's a South African guy, by the way, who did it. Hope I'm wrong, but had the same stunt been pulled on a far-left person, I have no doubt you would have joined in the ridicule with alacrity. I'm astounded by how right-wing you're becoming. It's just unreal to me how suddenly free speech and individual rights are a right-wing position. Right-wing? Right-wing me? Do you know how many people walk up to me and say, I used to listen to you on radio, but you're so left-wing that I can't handle it anymore? All the time. So, Fern, there's a lot of people who have completely the polar opposite view.
Just not win here.
No, not that I'm that interested. I'm astounded. She says you'll be hailing the Saitlanders as virtuous freedom fighters soon.
My God.
Seriously, though, this heinous woman deserves the comeuppance she got and requires not one whit of sympathy from anyone. By the way, the U.S. economy might be doing okay under Trump, but women's rights are seriously under threat during his term, as well as the environment. It's debatable. He has no regard for either. Once again, my 2 cents worth. Still listening. Still want to rip my right arm off at some times. Well, you see, Fern, that I would see someone about that.
No.
Because I've never wanted to rip my right arm off, ever.
Yeah. Fern's passionate.
Very.
At least we're making you feel something.
Exactly. I like that, Fern.
All right, Miguel wants to know how you're enjoying your new phones here.
I'm enjoying it pretty well, thank you. And yes, I've still pledged my allegiance to that cult.
To the Apple cult.
Yes.
Okay. And you've kept your number.
Yes, I have.
I'm so proud of you, Sia.
I just have 2 more months before I have to give my kidney over.
That's so adult. As long as I have a hole in my ass, Bernie will not be president. Yeah. That's from Carl.
Carl, it could be... Oh, damn it. Now I forgot what it was. Oh, what's that tiny hole syndrome?
What?
Sorry, that's the only way I could have explained it. Never mind.
Okay.
We spoke about
Brendan
it.
Says
remember.
Donald Trump's going to win and beat the hell out of Bernie. Well, see, the problem is like the Democratic Party has been completely taken over by Bernie and his people who don't actually care about the Democratic Party. They're not interested. Bernie's just really, like, he's got a bunch of ideologues rallying behind him, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You can read who most of these guys are. I mean, one of his staff was recorded in a bar or something. One of his high-level staff saying, you know, the Russian gulags, they weren't so bad. Mm. good morning, guys. I was robbed once and was stabbed 4 times, as KC. He says, head, neck, back, and shoulder. I would rather get stabbed than go and clean my teeth at a dentist again. Whoa. Those people hurt you so badly. Yeah, you see, Casey, you understand my pain.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Neil says, where is that fat bastard Gord? Yeah, Gord is not in this morning. He called Sia yesterday and said he's got some stuff he has to do, so he won't be joining us. I need thoughts and prayers. I'm so stressed out with work, I've actually got the shits. Does anyone else get the stress shits? And that's from Anushka.
Oh.
I don't know about the stress shits. That sounds like something horrible.
Yeah, what does Anushka do for a living? Is she an assassin or something?
Mm.
No, you need to sort that out. Yeah.
Here's an interesting little soliloquy. This is from Ruth. She says, I think it gets worse as you get older. I feel more scared now to go to the dentist than before, and I have relatively good teeth. I remember I so wanted braces as a kid because everyone at school was getting braces. And I was told your teeth are perfect, so I bent bangles and put them around my mouth so I wouldn't be left out. How pathetic.
Oh.
I watched Bombshell. It was bound to happen. Yeah, you just got to explain to me like what was bound to happen because there's a lot going on in that movie. I loved it.
Bound to happen that she eventually watched Bombshell.
Perhaps. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we have another listener who messaged us on Instagram and she said, please make sure you and the rest of the morning show team make a plan to watch this. It's called The Loudest Voice.
Oh, yeah. That's also about Fox News, right?
Saying if we enjoyed Bombshell so much, the series goes into even more terrifying detail about the power at Fox News. The cast is incredible.
Can we just get to a point also where we don't see each other as enemies just because we have different political opinions? I honestly don't understand why it's necessary for people to polarize on those. The politics is not the most interesting thing about anyone. Ever.
But politics is around us all the time. It determines how we live, where you live, who you get to live near. So it's kind of tough not to, because we don't understand the world through any other lens, but we understand from a national, which is a country. Like, what other lens do we know the world through? So how do we get away from it while we think of the world as I live in a nation state?
Well, this is precisely why so many people are depressed and miserable. And this goes back to how we started the show this morning. With you just got to do what you can in your little world. And if you can spread good a little bit further, awesome.
I just don't like that all of this is becoming the new greeting.
What do you mean?
You meet someone and it's just right after, hey, how are you doing? Oh, well.
Eskom.
Oh, yeah, hey. Oh, Trump. It's like, what? No. Can we just focus on our own lives, really? Yeah. I don't want to focus on others. Anyway.
I'm with you. Yeah. Okay, well, let's get into the news because there are some things you need to know this morning and some of them may just end up being political. Who knows? One of them, the first story that came up is about a witness in the delinquency case of former SAA board chairperson Dudu Mieni. You know, she's in a case where they're about to declare her delinquent director, which means she can't have any official positions on the boards of any other companies. She said, this person who was the witness said she was responsible for the failed multi-million rand profit guarantee deal with Emirates in 2015. I didn't even know about this deal, but it turns out the High Court in Pretoria on Tuesday heard the case that's been brought against me and Dudu Mieni by the Organization Undoing Tax Abuse, that's OUTA, and the South African Pilots Association. They want Mieni to be declared a delinquent director, accusing her of mismanagement, among other things, during her six-year tenure. This woman is just like she's like a disease. You bring her into anything and she ruins it. She levels it to the ground. She's got to be one of the most unbelievably destructive forces in South Africa.
I actually kind of like the idea of being dubbed a delinquent.
Yeah, it's terrible, right?
You are officially deemed a failure.
Yeah.
It's like putting on that dunce hat at school.
I actually want it, yes.
It's liberating, right? It's like this person is incapable of doing everything. Help them all the time.
Yeah. Hey, Dudu, why are you a delinquent?
Well, that scarlet letter back in the day. It's just a mark. She should go around with a scarlet D.
Careful with that. There's some people who've been marked in the last 100 or so years.
I was going to say scarlet letter.
Not for good reasons. But I don't see how she should ever be allowed to serve on a board again. I mean, clearly she's just the anathema of running things properly. More witnesses have been blaming her for their financial losses at the troubled SAA. Former SAA Chief Financial Officer Wolf Meyer testified that Mieni was responsible for the failed 1.5 billion rand profit guarantee deal with Emirates that the airline should have signed. Mieni claimed that the instruction was not to sign the deal, and that came from former President Jacob Zuma. This is what I love about people who never take responsibility for themselves. If it goes really well, they are only too happy to accept some of the credit.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes badly, they've got to blame someone else. It's almost as if the person who's been fighting for their agency the whole time, so that they can prove they're an individual who has rights, especially when you have someone like Dudu Mieni who's going to court to, you know, assert her rights, then she's a person who deserves dignity and you know, she must be treated fairly, and she's constantly complaining about how unfair everything is. But then when it comes to taking responsibility, which is the other side of being taken seriously, oh, no, 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 then it wasn't her, it was President Jacob Zuma. And she turned on him like that. Mm-hmm. She's happy to completely spin the thing around. Like, now it's his fault. What a weak human being. Apparently, he could not be held liable, this mayor, the guy who was the chief financial officer. He says, I don't accept any responsibility for board discussions and unofficial board decisions. Alter will now call an expert on cooperative governance to come and give testimony. What a mess. It's all doo-doo me any. Apparently, lawyers challenging the bail of murder accused and Lesotho First Lady.
Ah, here we go.
Messiah Thabane on Tuesday said they were struggling to obtain a date. Tata Sebola, who's a survivor of the shooting that killed Lesotho Prime Minister Thabo Thabane's second wife, Dipolelo, in 2017, wants the appeal court to review Messiah's bail. So you got any news on that one?
No.
Do you want to hear from a friend of Thabo Thabane? Listen to this. This is from EWN.
For weeks now, we've been talking about the case of Lesotho First Lady Maezaya Thabane. And the case is related to the killing in 2017 of Prime Minister Tom Thabane's second wife, Dipolelo, who was shot execution style. But what we haven't talked about much is that with Dipolelo on that day was her friend Thato Sebola, who survived that shooting. Now, Maezaya has been charged with the murder of Dipolelo Thabane, as well as the attempted murder of Thato Sebola. She sits here with me today and gives us a sense of what happened that day. Thato, let's start with why you've decided to come to South Africa.
So let me understand. This is the woman who they tried to kill her as well. Oh, and she survived.
I know why she came to South Africa to seek asylum.
No, what a question.
She needs help. She's running away from the killer.
I was feeling unsafe because when the police confirm that they have one of the major suspects as the wife of the prime minister of my country, that just sent... I just felt fear. It spelled danger, fear.
That's a pretty horrible story. Okay, but we'll keep following that because that's always entertaining.
And you know, sometimes I think as as Africans, we're too respectful.
What do you mean?
You know, she's referred to as Ma Messiah.
No, no, no. I think we were pronouncing it wrong. We call her Messiah, but it's Maesiah from what... the way she was saying it. So maybe we're just...
I picked it up as...
Maybe we're mispronouncing it.
But so I was she's a murderer.
I noticed that.
Let's call her what she is. Not Ma anymore.
Ma murderer.
Yeah.
Thabane.
Wow.
So you're honorable, Ma murderer.
Yeah. Democratic presidential contender Michael Bloomberg will sell Bloomberg LP, the financial information company that made him a billionaire, if he's elected to the White House, his campaign confirmed on Tuesday. Now, why would you do that? Why would you want to give up being Michael Bloomberg to be president of the United States? I asked the same thing about Donald Trump. Can these guys, can they just let their egos take a break?
It's power.
They've got such fantastic lives. They're leaving such great legacies with or without being president. It's not necessary.
The evidence is murky on Donald Trump, whether what he was like as a businessman. You can say whatever you want. He comes from a power family. Yeah. But Michael Bloomberg, for me, I hate competent people being in government because it's the worst place to try and help people from. Mm-hmm. Actually, we now live in a capitalist society, whether you like it or not. We need Bloomberg out in the streets.
I, Bernie Sanders, I'm going to change that. I'm going to change everything.
I don't like it either, Bernie.
Let me just get out of your lounge and take my sleeping bag and move away.
I don't like it either, Bernie. Thanks for coming.
But you were saying? You don't like competent people.
I cannot stand the thought of competent people going to government. President, it's becoming more and more useless where we know capitalism, whether we like it or not, is the most dynamic system of spreading help, for lack of a better term.
Well, creating opportunity.
Bloomberg, stay around, man. Forget your ego trip. We need you creating more jobs, hopefully, and paying people.
But he says he'll have to get rid of it because, of course, you can't have a conflict of interest. Sure. He's been rising in the opinion polls. See, he's thought about this. He's actually been more calculated than the rest. By the way, Joe Biden is dropping like a stone. Joe Biden may not make Super Tuesday at this rate. He's that unpopular right now.
And old.
It's just a disaster of a campaign. Whoever's run Joe Biden's campaign must have run Hillary's campaign. Must be the same people. They're absolutely useless. Bloomberg has risen in the opinion polls since entering the race for the Democratic nomination. He will appear in the first debate of the election cycle on Wednesday in Vegas. You know, he's saving his, he's keeping his powder dry for later. Democrats are vying for the right to challenge Republican Donald Trump in the November 3rd election. The former New York mayor has said before he would likely sell Bloomberg LP if elected, which his campaign affirmed on Tuesday. So that's interesting. You have to give up certain things to get others. That's the world. That's how it works. And good luck to Michael Bloomberg. Like he's, I actually think he would be, I'm not going to agree with Mbulelo, because I think the more competent people we have, the better chance ordinary people have of getting decent government services and things working. A guy who's been the CEO of a major company like that, he's not a billionaire by accident. He's worked hard, which is what we were talking about in the first half of this morning's first hour. He probably knows how to run a tight ship.
Well, you know, this is where I have to push back. You know what I want my presidents to be? And you look at the ones that we've really loved over time and that have done great jobs. Is your
Those are not always the same things.
The head of state should actually be one thing. Your best administrator. That your only job when you're the head of state is to administrate resources we give you to give as many people quality of life. That's it. I don't like power hungry. You know, Bloomberg's a power animal.
See, you're different to everyone else because you're thinking. Most people feel.
Yeah. So yeah.
And a lot of people will still base it on.
Most people feel their politicians are. They go, I get a good feeling from him. Now,
Those worry me.
Yeah, of course, but they're probably more feeling type people in the world than there are thinking type people like you. So you're looking at this. You want some boring administrator like Angela Merkel.
Which is why I would marry her tomorrow.
I know you said so, but let's not go down that path because people start saying, oh, well, it's just sexist.
Don't talk about your power suit fetish.
I wouldn't. But then you want an Angela Merkel.
I do.
You want an efficient administrator who lines up the state along certain lines, actually executes plans, gets things done. Most people want someone they can like. Someone who makes them feel good, gives inspiring speeches and dresses well and behaves in a presidential manner.
Holds hands with his wife and they have the 2 and 3 perfect kids they're kissing babies.
That's what most people want because they have a different approach to the world.
And
to you.
And a cheap plug, but we're going to have a great season of Blind History coming up. We're going to talk about some philosophers that warned us against what that's called. It's called idolatry. And that's very, very dangerous to have people who lead you that you idolize. We've seen it in South Africa recently.
Yeah,
so.
But people also, they want a daddy and they want a mommy.
Yeah, sure.
That's what that is all about. Those feeling people are sometimes looking for a daddy or a mommy. Maybe they had one or maybe they didn't. Both motivations can be just as strong as each other. Mm. And then they see someone who looks like, oh, that could be a nice substitute daddy. And then the government becomes their substitute daddy. It's a big problem we have in this country. Anyway, there's one other story I needed you to hear about. Because this schmuck, Harvey Weinstein, who's now walking around with a Zimmer frame. I do not understand how people can be as callous as this. I mean, obviously he's a callous person because he was sexually abusing and raping women. And then trying to strong-arm them into situations that they definitely didn't want to be in with him. And he promised them Oscars and movie roles and all kinds of things. You know, powerful producer.
Mm-hmm.
What a schmuck.
And you know, with some people, we look at them under stressful situations and particularly in court, and we can see how they change very drastically. Remember, like we covered that random white patch of hair that Oscar Pistorius had.
Stress.
But I feel like with Harvey's case, he called it the one last contact that he had on his phone, which was a makeup intern who worked on one of his movies and was like, hey, so I need prosthetics. I need to look sad and tired.
Did he really?
No, I just think
I think he would have.
It's not unreasonable.
Yeah.
I think he's looking way too broken
horrible.
Down.
Well, listen, I wouldn't put it past him to have done what you just said. But I think he's genuinely taking strain because this is a guy who he's probably quite a soft human being. By soft, I mean like he's not really built for adversity.
Mm.
You know, he was a big deal in the boardroom and shouted all the shots in the movie sets and all the rest of it. But I don't think he's a strong person. I mean, I think he probably grew up in a quite, you know, protected environment, and he hasn't really had to deal with a lot of adversity. 67 as well,
yeah.
So he's not a spring chicken, but he's not old. This will make you old. Something like this. Something like this will make you really old really quickly.
No, you've made a great point. He must be a weak person. Strong people, and I don't mean strong as in physically or egotistical, but truly strong people don't abuse people, if you know what I mean. Like strong, if you're really, really strong.
No, of course. That's a very good point. If you are a confident, strong, upstanding individual, you never need to force yourself sexually on anyone else.
No.
Or trick them in to having some kind of sexual relationship with you so that you can get your kicks and then they can get their Oscar.
Exactly, because strong people can handle power when it comes. Yeah. Weak people, like Mr. Weinstein, folded and
well, the judge in the Harvey Weinstein rape case has warned that the lead defense lawyer is not to talk to the press after she penned an opinion piece on Saturday. Writing in Newsweek, Donna Rotunno called on jurors to do what they know is right. But she told Justice James Burke the piece was not intended to address the jury directly. They have finished with their deliberations for the day after asking for clarification of legal terms and plans for the apartment where one of the alleged assaults took place. Mr. Weinstein has pleaded not guilty to sexually assaulting former production assistant Mimi Haleyi and raping former actress Jessica Mann.
Mm.
The trial began in New York last month.
I'd be very surprised if his ex-wife wasn't called up to testify
for like character.
Yeah
that's think, great,
because there is such a thing as spousal privilege. There are two kinds of privilege. There's privilege with your lawyer, which means that anything you say to your lawyer they're not allowed to disclose. There are three kinds. There's also your psychologist,
lawyer, and spouse.
Spousal privilege is like if I say to you and you and I are married, and I say, Sia, I inadvertently slipped and murdered Bulelo. You can't testify against me in court because you're my spouse.
Now,
I simplified it, but that's more or less what it is.
I don't have the legal terms correct or off the top of my head, but that surprises me because in the case of Lori Loughlin and the college admission case that's currently unfolding, I saw a news insert that they were putting pressure on Lori to accept a plea deal before it goes into court because they're threatening to have her kids testify against her.
Her kids can, but her husband can't.
How sick.
Well,
I would actually think protect the kids.
But in
more
this case,
than
the kids are pertinent to the investigation because they were directly involved. She was doing all the stuff for the kids. So they are party to this.
Imagine having to testify
against your mom?
Against your mom, not for your mom. Against her.
You're not really, because the court's just asking you questions. So you're not testifying against your mom. You don't have to take up a position against your mom. You just have to tell the court what happened. The point of a court is that they want to find out what the closest version of the truth to the truth actually is. So all they're interested in is not finding out whether this person is guilty or innocent, but what is the truth? And then from that, we can determine whether someone is guilty or not guilty. But in the case of your kids coming, they're just going to be asked questions and then they're going to answer honestly. And if they end up implicating you in something, tough titties.
Yeah, I don't know those kids from a bar of soap, but I think they'll ruin them.
I think they would.
Oh my God.
That Olivia is so stupid. She.
Well, I was filming like a YouTube channel, and then like mom came in and started speaking about like Harvard and stuff.
Oh, there's a good point. Our listeners are so smart. I mean, listen to this guy. This is from Marcel. Marcel says, what about confidence between you and your priest? I think that also counts. It's a kind of...
Does it?
I think so. I don't know if it's legally recognized in every place in the world, but it is a kind of privilege as well. So like confession. You know, in Catholic churches, you can go and confess.
I think most Catholic priests have to confess to the people coming into the booth. So that goes two ways.
In terms of spousal privilege, are you not allowed to testify, or is it just that you cannot be forced to testify, Carl? Carl, I studied this stuff a long time ago. I can't remember, and I'm not going to pretend. Harvey Weinstein apparently recently had back surgery, so it's not fake. That's from Nhlanhla.
Well, you said apparently.
Did we see him on the operating table with an incision?
Even Nhlanhla has said apparently had.
Or could he have once again called that makeup intern who was really good faking injuries?
Cool. So we're phoning Elson and Fern when Trump wins again. This is from Graham. Graham says, 2020 for Trump because fuck you twice. Why do people like communism? Are they that stupid? And he says also, if Mbulelo, and everybody spells your name differently. It's
that's
hilarious.
Okay. That's okay.
Bulelelehileleho.
Oh, there's an H there.
Yeah. Marries Angela Merkel. She will end up inviting the delinquent neighbors to live in your home because they burnt theirs down. Yeah, that's what she's doing in Europe.
I want to put you in a room with Angela Merkel, Theresa May, and Hillary Clinton. Oh, it's like your Playboy mansion.
No.
That's an Mbulelo like, Playboy mansion. Oh my God.
Theresa May is just a watered down Margaret Thatcher, so she's no good. She's out.
When she starts dancing, I'm sure that
please gets don't insult Margaret. Don't insult Margaret Thatcher. Theresa May achieved absolutely nothing during her term as prime minister.
I agree. I said watered down, weak version.
Margaret Thatcher was a winner.
Wow,
that was a now that's a strong woman.
And I expect a few people to be upset with that. The unions, Gareth.
Yeah. Apparently, Harvey doesn't have a backbone. So, what surgery did he really have?
That's the winner.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Oki says, oh no, no women on the show today. God help us. Have you heard John Steenhuisen's answer on Cyril's sonar? It was great. I have not, I'm afraid.
And before we move on there, Gareth, I always wanted to know, why in 2020 do we still think a jury system is the best way to make a choice? No. What, some guy who drives around a truck?
Who thinks that?
No, well, I mean, the American system is still, you know, they have a jury system.
No, we've just seen that on TV. I don't think it's the best system. Do you see it?
No, I'm saying, why is it still in practice?
What's a big thing for you as to why it doesn't work?
It's a murder case. Now some guy who drives a truck for a living delivering chickens is going to decide whether my daughter goes to prison.
Well, don't you think it brings some level of balance?
Absolutely.
First of all, your daughter should not be so murderous. Okay. Second of all, there is some merit to that system, and they will argue if you were an American and you were required to defend the jury system, which I don't agree with, you might say a jury of your peers are the very best people, ordinary citizens, who also don't understand the law. It's the judge's job to understand and interpret and explain the law to the jury, right? But for ordinary people, they still know what's wrong and right. And any good society is based on the fact that we assume people know the difference between wrong and right, and that people have a bend towards justice. And that most people are able, if they are forced to concentrate and focus on a situation, to determine the best way forward for the whole of society. And therefore, they select these random people to do jury duty, and those people are then called on as part of their service to the country that they belong to play a part in the judicial system.
But actually, what we know about people is they are slaves to their confirmation bias, actually. That's what we really know about people. Yes, so that worries me even more.
So a judge is by that.
That's why they get trained for 20 years to be a judge.
Help their confirmation bias.
But I'd rather have that than a guy who drives chicken trucks.
Why?
But you see,
because confirmation bias.
They may academically understand the law better, but they don't necessarily have any less of those human frailties. We know that.
Sure, but you go through the rigmarole of making decisions in the legal system for over time, Gareth. That makes you better. It's like saying you've been as a presenter, you've done it for 20 years, you understand the idiosyncrasies of, okay, like where do
that's
I go?
That's experience.
And I agree. That's what I'm saying, is the chicken guy.
But you're not required to apply the law, understand the law if you're on the jury.
But you're part of a massive decision is what I'm saying. I'm saying juries
You're one of however many people happen to be on that jury.
Yeah.
Who have to. What do you think? It's no different to Twitter.
Isn't that
scary? Yeah,
of course it is. But at least we know that this is a legally arranged system, and they do.
And it's confined to a certain
trusted
extent.
I don't want to defend the jury system. I think it's stupid. But for people who like it, and Americans are very proud of that system, it's a way of showing you trust the people.
I think we could have saved so much time and money and resources if we had some of that in South Africa. Even in Lesotho, if my Isaiah If I was part of the jury, my size case, how? Give us 2 days.
Jail, huh?
Two days we would have been wrapped up and done.
Yeah.
2 days.
All right. Let's get to the sport. You got some sport for us today? Take it away.
Yeah, let's end off part one with some sport. The Springboks went to the Oscars of sport and were crowned the Team of the Year. They ousted the U.S. Women's football team, the Spanish men's basketball team, Mercedes AMG, the F1 team, and NBA champs, the Toronto Raptors. And then there was another team they ousted, the Tinport Club from Liverpool. Sia Khaleesi and his men are now the darlings of world sport. Once again, Khaleesi in particular. I don't know if you saw his speech, but Khaleesi is now, of course, a client of Roc Nation Sport. Yes, Roc Nation, like Jay-Z. So not Mshololo's. But the Jay-Z who cheated on Beyonce and got punched in a lift by Solange, you know
that's
that guy.
That's the one, yeah.
That Jay-Z.
Thanks for bringing some pop culture references.
Sure, sure.
Blue Iris's least attractive parent.
Ivy.
Blue Ivy, whatever.
Anyway, look, Khaleesi's been going around the world spreading the Springbok brand, so he's done a great job of doing that. And if you haven't seen the speech, we'll put it up. But he had an incredibly powerful speech, in particular, mentioning that as sportsmen, we really touch the lives of kids in a way that governments and politicians can't. So, to the World Team of the Year, congratulations to the Springboks. They are making us proud again.
So, that was at the Laureus Sports Awards.
The Laureus Sports Awards, which is the Oscars.
And again, on the theme from this morning, let us be grateful that billionaires like Johan Rupert have been so involved in establishing the Laureus Sports Awards and putting South Africa at the forefront of international sport. Because there's no way that our useless Minister of Sport could get that right. So again, thank you very much to a billionaire. Just pointing that out.
Oom Rupert, as Sia Khaleesi calls him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's something else. Anyway, MMA. Mm-hmm. We were hoping our friend Gord would be here, but that's okay. He isn't. Chris Cyborg, if you haven't seen her, she's confirmed her status as possibly the greatest female fighter in MMA history. Right? Possibly combat sport. Because the Brazilian-American became the first human being on planet Earth to do the MMA Grand Slam. That's winning the title in all four major MMA organizations, UFC, Bellator, Strikeforce, and Invicta FC. She ended Julia Rudd's eight-year unbeaten run with a TKO in the fourth round. It was brutal scenes. If you haven't seen it, go on YouTube. The living daylights out of that. And what makes this even sweeter is that if you don't know who Amanda Nunes is, that is a bad mother. Amanda Nunes.
Who's
beat
Amanda Nunes?
So Amanda Nunes beat Cyborg 2 years ago, right, in this very arena. So it made this victory even sweeter.
So these are girls
who are
really, really dangerous in MMA.
No, this is humans that are dangerous. Forget about girls, boys. You don't want to run into...
I would be destroyed in 5 seconds flat.
Speaking of which, I was going to tell you, if you don't know what Cyborg is capable of doing, imagine you were a hamburger in front of the Protea cricket team, right? You would be devoured.
Do you find that sexy or do you find it terrifying?
Oh, man. I try not to think about it. It sends me into shock because she is a killing machine. So the sportsman, right? Somebody like her... is if she gets in a fight in public, I don't know if people know this, like boxers and these types of athletes, they can actually be sent to prison for attempted murder.
Okay.
Because they are weapons. Yeah, they are weapons. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So sportsmen like this, boxers.
Oh, that would make me feel so bad.
Yeah. So if a boxer gets in a fight in public or a cyborg was to get in a fight in public, it's attempted murder because you are... Yeah. These are serious. No, if you haven't seen Cyborg, go and see her. The 34-year-old world champion is on another planet right now. Absolutely love her. If you didn't see that TKO, go and check it out. That is part one for today of sport.
Thank you very much. I want to play a little clip of an old man who appeared before a judge, and he had some things to say because he was brought in on a school zone violation, which means speeding past a school, right? And this guy is 96 years old. You just got to hear this. It's so cute. So thank you, Mbolelo, for the sport. We'll get to that next. And then we've got some more news for you. We've got some very cool stuff coming up, actually, including Faith Kanyile, who's the CEO and director of WDBIH. That's WDB Investment Holdings. And we're going to talk about women in investment as part of our series on Section 12J companies. Find out a little bit about what Faith does. And all of that's coming your way in the next hour. But before that, here's this old guy. He's appeared before the judge. Listen to this.
At 96.
96 years old. Yeah, it's amazing. It's just very cute. I think it's cute.
Sir, good morning, Judge. Mr. Kawawa, you are charged with a school zone violation. Beg pardon?
You are charged with a school zone violation, right, which means that you were exceeding the speed limit in a school zone.
I don't drive that fast, Judge. I'm 96 years old and I drive slowly, and I only drive when I have to. I was going to the blood work for my boy. He's handicapped.
Oh. You were taking your son to the doctor's office?
Yeah. I take him for blood work every 2 weeks because he's got cancer.
Oh, you are a good man.
The piano music is brought on by some American who thought this wasn't dramatic enough. So here we go. Ignore the piano music.
The piano is what nearly got me.
If you like Sia, then you can bring it on.
You are a good man. You really are what America is all about. Here you are in your 90s, and you're still taking care of your family. That's just a wonderful thing for you. Well, how old is your son?
63.
Yeah. And you still, Daddy's still taking care of him, right?
I only drive when I have to.
Yeah. Listen, sir, I wish you all the best. I wish the best for your son, and I wish you good health, and your case is dismissed. Good luck to you and God bless.
Isn't that beautiful? Oh, that's nice, right?
Okay, that's sweet.
So there's sometimes, Bulelo, even judges can be, you know, feeling people, not thinking people.
But if Mbulelo was on jury duty,
oh,
that
he would have sent
was...
that old man. That old man would have gone straight to jail if Mbulelo
you
had his
law way. Lawbreaker.
You would have, right?
Like, what's he contributing to the text?
You see? You're a cruel, heartless bastard. And the next person who says, I'm a cruel, heartless bastard, I'm just going to point at you.
Shucks.
There is little in the world that is less attractive than women beating each other up. Is that a sexist viewpoint? That's from Carl. What do you think of that?
Oh, it's an interesting combination of probably men always thinking only men can be brutal. So it's like, oh, women are people too. They can be violent. Why? Sure. Who cares? They're just humans, whatever.
Oh, please. This society knows what's right or wrong. Argument is bad. The jury system is the worst. I agree with Mbulelo. That is why we have attorneys who can actually study the law and can argue and protect your client. That's okay. From AJ. All right. Well, very nice. Drivers, what is it with Mbulelo and his vendetta against the chicken truck driver? Have you had an argument with a chicken truck driver recently? That's according to Sean.
Sure, it was a hypothetical.
It's too particular to just have.
All right.
Well, you know, black people and chicken.
Lynn says the jury system is a disaster. Listen to the podcast In the Dark about the trial of Curtis Flowers, who was tried and retried for 22 years. The all-white jury was so biased they kept convicting an innocent man. Yeah, and can you imagine how that would go down in this country? How it would always break down on racial lines?
That's why I say we are slaves to our confirmation bias, use the term, but we're products of our society. So, like I said, I don't like feelings when you have to make important decisions. I really don't.
Well, I don't think anyone disagrees with you, but you sometimes sound very, very unkind.
Sometimes. I mean, a list of 20 odd things that you hate might be indicative.
20? Only 20?
I think 20 odd.
Yeah, it's way longer than that, right?
How am I single actually, with this warm nature?
We're on 30 on the dot right now.
I'll bet. CliffCentral.com